Today, as we celebrate this feast of St. John Vianney, we recognize that we are celebrating one of the great saints of the Church, and yet at the same time, because of his profound humility, one who probably isn't all that well known. All we have to do to recognize his greatness is to remember the words of Satan himself, who said, if there were three Viennes in the world at one time, I would be done. And the tragedy is that in 2,000 years, we haven't been able to field three of them at one time, ever. It tells you how extraordinary this man truly was. But the most extraordinary part of him was his humility, which, of course, as we've talked about many times, since humility and charity are equal to his humility then was his charity. And that is exactly the case. Everything that he was about serving the Lord and serving his people. He wanted to be able to serve the Lord more wholeheartedly, tried at one point, well, more than one point, to sneak away, go to a monastery. The people would find him and drag him back because they wanted him back in the parish. And what's truly amazing about this is that he probably didn't have any of the qualities and characteristics that people tend to associate with the quote-unquote best priests. There's a very good book that I read back a few years ago, and it's talking about the kind of priests that we need. The man who wrote it was writing about his uncle and talking about some of the profound things that he was able to accomplish. And this man was very outgoing, very gregarious, very kind, just a generous man, very, very good priest. And I read the book and I put it down and I said, well, I guess that excludes me. I'm not like this man at all. But neither was St. John Vianney. St. John Vianney was not overly intelligent, at least as academia would count it. He was certainly not outgoing. He was not a party animal. I got kicked out of the seminary because I don't like parties. Honest, that was the number one reason they gave for kicking me out. Because I don't like parties. Didn't know that you needed to do that to be a priest. But apparently these days, that's what's necessary. Got to be a party guy. I'm not. And so you go right down the line of all these things that people would look at. And St. John Vianney was none of them. He was very introverted. He was very quiet. He was very much to himself. He loved to pray. He was very penitential. And he was there for the people. That's where we lose an awful lot. Even though they looked at kicking him out of the seminary because he struggled with Latin. Thankfully, he had a bishop who actually had some faith and must have had a spiritual life because he recognized the holiness of this man and insisted that he would be ordained even though he wasn't real proficient at Latin. Thanks be to God for that bishop, or we would be without one of the greatest saints in history. This is a man who, as I'm sure you all know, spent toward the latter part of his life 18 hours a day in the confessional. Now, from a priest's perspective, you spend a few hours in the confessional, your brain's starting to get a little bit scattered. 18 hours a day sitting in the confessional. And his confessional, by the way, was like a 2x10 that he sat on, just a plank of wood. There was no heat in the church. There certainly was no air conditioning in the summertime. And there he sat, day after day after day after day. Every day, if there was anything there, he ate a couple of boiled potatoes. That was it. Needless to say, that had a profound effect on his health. Any doctor today, as they did back then, told him to knock it off and start eating better. His teeth were falling out because of his lack of nutrition. But he was more concerned about souls. He was more concerned about being able to offer his fasting to God for the conversion of souls. That's what it was all about. He preached the truth. It wasn't eloquent. It didn't have to be. When I was over at St. Agnes, Monsignor Schuller, who was the pastor there, was, I think, the most intelligent person I've ever in my life met. If you ever met him, you wouldn't know that. You'd only know he was about that much smarter than you, because he had this profound ability that most super intelligent people don't have, and that's that he could adjust himself to the level of whoever he was speaking to. But I had, I don't know if you want to call it the privilege of sitting at the dinner table watching some of these other super, super smart people. And he was always that much smarter than they were, leaving me to wonder, where's the limit? But anyway, he had friends from all over the world who were super smart, people that you've all heard of because they've been on TV and whatever else. And they would come to Mass, and they would try to preach, and they would do their best. And they could not, for the life of them, come anywhere near the level of most of the people that were there. They maybe preached an eloquent homily, and it went right over everybody's head. I remember listening to one of these guys, and I thought, if I lived to be 1,000, I couldn't preach like that guy. So smooth, so beautiful. And I walked away saying, bet he and Monsignor are the only two people in the place that knew what he was talking about. But boy, was it smooth. St. John Vianney wasn't. He just preached the truth. But the truth that he preached was with so much love that that's what brought people around. People of South St. Paul had the privilege, if you've been here long enough, to have someone similar. That was Father Raymond Zwaber, an absolute saint, holy, holy man, absolutely in love with Jesus and Mary, and one of the worst preachers you have ever in your life heard, if you ever heard him preach. He stuttered and he stammered and he ummed and he awed and he was awful. If you just listen to it from a critical perspective. And yet when he took over St. Augustine, 8, count them, 8 people came to daily Mass. When he left St. Augustine, more than 150 people came to daily Mass. They weren't there because of his scintillating homilies. They weren't there because he was so eloquent and so smooth. They were there because this man was in love with Jesus and Mary. And they saw it and they heard it. It didn't matter if he stammered and struggled his way through the homily. They didn't care. They heard what he was telling them because he couldn't hide it. He was in love. And so was St. John Vianney. And all the people could see it. And they were drawn to that. So drawn that it amazes me to think that people would get a ticket in Paris so that they could go to ours to go to confession. It took a day to be able to get there. So putting that into modern way of looking at it, that'd be like saying, well, if you wanted to go to confession someplace up in Canada, or maybe someplace down in Missouri or something like that, it's going to take you about a day to get there. And then you had to wait for 5 days. So if you complain about the lines here being too long some days, it took you 5 days. And he was hearing confessions for 18 hours a day, and it took you 5 days to get in there. And then you get on the train and go back the next day. So it was a 7-day trip to be able to go to confession. But that's the impact that the love of this man had. If we had priests who would just love Jesus and Mary, the world would have been converted centuries ago. But we don't. Some of that, the rectors of the European seminaries figured out. They struggled for over 20 years. They saw young men come into the seminary who were on fire with the faith. They learned from their mothers, and they were on fire. They wanted to be priests because they wanted to serve the Lord in His church. And when they went out, after being in seminary for a few years, they were a bunch of robots. They had no love for Jesus and Mary, but boy, did they have lots of book knowledge. And of course, the rectors of the seminaries all have doctorates, so they're really smart people. And it took them more than 20 years to figure out what was going on. What happened between the time they walked in and the time they walked out? They finally realized. They come in, we fill them with academic knowledge, and we take away their spiritual life. They know all kinds of things about Jesus, but we've taken away their love for Jesus. And then you get into the gerbil wheel when you get ordained. And then what's even worse is these priests who want to be promoted. They want the bigger parish. They want the one that's more wealthy. They want to go to the chancery. They want to get promoted to whatever. So then you have to become a politician. So it's not about the love for Jesus. It's about the love for oneself. What can I get? St. John Vianney wasn't interested in any of that. St. John Vianney was interested in the other, God and neighbor, period. That's the kind of priest that we need. It doesn't matter if they are extroverted and party animals, if that's what they want to be, they need to be in love with Jesus. Because we need people like that maybe to go to some of those parties and convert some souls. It doesn't matter if they're introverts that are sitting in a hermitage someplace. We need them to be in love with Jesus because souls need to be converted. We need some of these really super intelligent guys, and we need the simple ones because we have people on the whole range. We have to be able to have people, priests, to be able to meet the people where they're at and to call them forward. But we need priests who want to be saints, not in the arrogant way of I want saint in front of my name someday. No, 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 no. I want to be with Jesus for eternity. I want to love Him as much as I can here so I can love Him as much as I can there. That is what is going to draw souls. St. John Vianney knew that. And that is what he did. Not out of any sense of arrogance, because there was no arrogance in the man. He was a man of great humility and of great charity, and an example to parish priests everywhere. That's what we need to pray for. Pray for good holy priests. Because if we have good holy priests, we are going to have good holy people. And if we have good holy people, we will have a good holy church. The church is holy, obviously, but I mean, the church will be filled with good holy people. That's what we need. God wants you to be a saint. Pray for your priests so that they can be saints, so that they can lead you. That's what it has to be. The priest, if he's the pastor, has to be a step ahead of the flock. If he's a saint, the people can be. If he's not, the people won't be. Well, there will be the odd one here or there that's still going to be able to take up the spiritual life and grow in holiness in spite of the priests. But for the most part, the priests need to provide that example, and they need to provide the people with what they need, not a ton of head knowledge, but rather a heart that is filled with love for Jesus and Mary.